Welcome to Christ Church Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com. My home is not on this
earth, not in this world. So, what songs do we sing? Now, we sing songs. That's what humans do. We have been writing songs for as long as we've learned how to make rhythm and realize that we have vocal cords and can sing. We love to sing. We do it to tell stories. We do it to put truth into our hearts. We do it to express emotion. We love to sing. And actually, if you were to go down to a few of the local football grounds, you would hear a number of songs. I'm not going to sing any of the rude ones, rest assured. But you would hear, I suggest, three different types of songs. Now, you would hear songs about the glorious past. So if you went to Old Trafford, you would still hear Ooh Ah Cantona. It's wonderful. And if you went to the other place, the Etihad, a smaller team, you would hear them sing about Sean Gota, Feed the Goat and He Will Score. That's what they sing there still. And in present day, you would go there and you'd hear songs about Marcus Rashford at Old Trafford or Sergio Aguero at the Etihad. And then that would be the songs of the present. And then you would hear some songs about the future. They'd say, we're going to win the league. Now, that has more truth and power in one of the stadiums than it does in the other currently. But we live in hope, don't we? But you have those songs. They will sing songs from the past, songs about the present, and songs about the future. But we also like to express emotion as we sing. So after the bomb at the Ariana Grande concert, there was a memorial in St. Anne's Square. And spontaneously, people began to sing Don't Look Back in Anger, if you remember that Oasis song. And it became a little bit of the song of how Manchester wanted to be peaceful, how it wanted to mourn. It became a little bit of how we connected emotionally with what has happened. And it's because songs have power. They do. They tell a story. They connect us to those stories. They connect us to what can be true. And so today, as we've worked our way through Exodus, particularly you guys in Lady Barnes, you've been working your way through Exodus, we get to a point where Israel sings a song. They tell their story. They talk about their past, their present, and their future. They connect with truth and they express some emotion. And we're going to read that song in a moment. But before that, we need to do what the story is so far. Now, all of you Lady Barners, I'm sure you've been immersed in Exodus. You've been reading it in the weeks as well to make sure you're up to date. But for us Kingsway lot, we're somewhere else. So I'm just going to catch us up a little bit where we are in Exodus. And at this moment, we find Israel stood on the beach of the Red Sea. And they have seen God move just in mind-bendingly powerful ways. So he has saved them from Egypt, where they were in slavery for hundreds of years of oppression, of exploitation, in deep suffering. And they cried out to God and God heard them and he wanted to bring them out. He wanted to bring them out so that they could worship him and that they could become his people. So God raises up a guy called Moses. And Moses gets into, eventually, confrontation with Pharaoh, which involves plagues and all sorts of things, and eventually ends with the death of all the firstborn of the Egyptians. And Pharaoh relents and frees them. Pharaoh then changes his mind as he realizes he's letting his whole workforce leave the country. And he chases after them, but God protects them. He protects them with a pillar of fire at night, pillar of clouds. Then he parts the Red Sea. They walk through the Red Sea. They get to the beach. The Egyptian army chase after them. And then the sea collapses in on them. And all of the Egyptian army are drowned. And so at this moment we get to them. They're about to break into song. They're stood looking over the Red Sea. And you can imagine kind of the water still in turmoil. And then standing there being a look, what just happened? And Moses leads them. So let's read. If you've got your Bibles, it's Exodus 15, just the first 18 verses. It will appear up here as well. But let's read the song. Says, then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. This Lord is a man of war. This Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You sent out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. And you blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are still as stone till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. This song tells their story, talks about their past, talks about their present, also talks about their future. So we're going to try our best to understand these points, this past, present and future, and see what it meant for them, see what it means for us. So they tell songs really of God's victory, what he has just done for them, celebration, what he has done. As we said, led them out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of oppression, out of exploitation, a displays of incredible power, of plagues. And Pharaoh relenting, changing his mind, and them going through the Red Sea and it coming down on them. And then it says, they sing, the horse and the rider have been thrown into the sea. So this is a song, you might think, well, it's a bit of a dark worship song, isn't it? But that's the song of what just happens. That's the fate of Pharaoh and his army right in front of them. That is what has happened. And it's a song as well to remind them, look, God deals with his enemies. God deals with the enemies of his people as well. And not only that, God is the deliverer. He does deliver us from evil. And actually, this isn't really for the faint-hearted. It's very clear. Look, Pharaoh's chariots and his host, they're at the bottom of the sea now. Even his best officers, the highest people probably in each Egyptian society, the army was very powerful. They would have been very significant people, the men of great power, now at the bottom of the sea. Floods cover them. It talks about how they went to the bottom like stones, and as if to emphasize the point, like a stone even heavier, like lead, they sunk to the bottom. Now, when I read Exodus, one of the things I think is fascinating is that Pharaoh is never named. So if you watch Prince of Egypt or the more recent one, which tells this story, they kind of give Pharaoh a name just to help with plot and all that sort of thing. But actually, in Exodus, they don't name Pharaoh. They don't say who he is. And the reason for that is that there is always a Pharaoh. There is always evil. There is always this picture of something that enslaves, that controls, that looks to dominate. And actually, we should never underestimate God's desire to break us free from the Pharaohs, to break us free from things that are evil, things that dominate, things that control. So when Jesus went to the cross, when Jesus went there, and as the guys in the New Testament wrote about this, actually, in their minds, they saw Jesus leading his people out of Egypt, in a way, because he was leading them out of slavery to sin, out of the oppression and grip of death. He was leading them out again so that they could be his people, they could worship him. It's the same story again. We are to worship him. We become his image, his representative. And we are meant to sing about that. Sing songs of that past victory, about what has happened, how God has restored us, how God has released us from sin, from that slavery, from that Egypt. Actually, I don't know if you do this, I'll just confess a little bit, but sometimes you forget that, don't you? Sometimes in the cares of life, even the busyness of life, even with all of the joy that there is in the life and all the worries that there are as well, sometimes you just kind of forget that Jesus has led us out. Actually, he's taken us through the Red Sea. He's taken us away from the great oppressor, the one who would grasp hold of us and drag us back again. He's led us away from that. I forget what he's done. So when we sing about God's past victory, about what Jesus has done. Actually, that puts life into context. And it's important we sing those songs of victory. But it doesn't stop there, because they sing as they're stood there on the beach looking over the Red Sea. They sing songs about the present, really kind of unpacking. This is what God is doing now. This is how he breaks us free, how he delivers us, how he defeats evil. And it's actually kind of simple. They say, look, he delivers us and he uses his right hand. It says, your right hand, O God, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And it doesn't just use his hand in this story. He also uses, somewhat unusually, his nostril. He uses his nostril. At the blast of your nostrils, the water's piled up. So we think, gosh, it must have been hard to plant part the Red Sea. He must have really used his arms. It must have been quite hard. And it's a bit like, no, just blew through his nostril, parted the Red Sea. It was that simple for him. It's important that actually in our songs, the ones that we sing to ourselves, perhaps what we speak over ourselves, the things that go on in life, that we know the opposition and you sing about them so that you don't become complacent. And actually that's what they do, the Israelites. They sing about what the enemy was doing. And it talks about how the enemy says, and the enemy says quite a lot here. It says, I will pursue, I'll overtake, I'll divide the spoils, my desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. And in this particular song, actually God doesn't say much. He doesn't actually say very much at all. And there's this sense of actually God hears what the enemy says. Here's the pomp, here's the pride, here's the deep-seated arrogance, and then destroys them with a blast of the nostril. And the enemy does like to talk. He likes to try to convince us that he's already won. Especially in those times where God seems quiet. Those fear, that lie that comes at us in those times. A number of years ago, we were particularly tight for cash. It was one of those times in life that we all go through when both of us were part-time. The children were just before school. And so for you to work part-time, you had to pay someone to look after your kids, which is almost as much as you earned while you were part-time. It was just that kind of scenario that you find yourself in. And everything is just tight. You're pinching pennies in every part of life all the time. And I remember clearly one day walking to the shops. And this is going to seem like quite a dramatic attack of the enemy, so brace yourselves. I was worrying about pensions. Yeah, that's how Satan goes at me. It's not in horrible lust and pride and all of that. It's worry about your pension, Tim. Worry about your pension. Crazy dull. But it was one of those weird, deep worries that you get occasionally, where it's right in your guts, you know, and you're knotted. And you can't really think straight. And it becomes a bit irrational. And it was a bit like Satan saying to me, see, Tim, I'll pursue you. I will overtake you. I will divide the spoil of what you have. And I remember at the time just feeling quite overwhelmed, just walking to the shops to get a newspaper, which I probably shouldn't have been buying. Maybe that's what started it all. I couldn't afford that 80p as it was then. And I felt to pray. I thought, just pray. So I pray, okay, God, I trust you. I thank you for what you've done in the past. I sang my songs of your great victory. I ask you for peace now, and peace came and we moved on and it was fine. But the enemy has a lot to say, doesn't he? Has a lot to say. It's almost like a terrible song that gets stuck in your head. But God intervenes with great power, but also with slight, it's great power, but it was just his nostril. This is really very simple for him. This is not dramatic for him. The things that we build up, that consume us, that worry us, do not worry him. Actually, God is doing something right now. I believe in the lives of all of you here, God is doing stuff amongst us. Maybe things that you've talked about with others, maybe things you haven't talked about. Perhaps there are people here that actually feel that, like you're fleeing the enemy, like he's close to you, like he might overtake you, like he's drawing you in. Perhaps even that he's got his swords and he's coming for you. But actually, it's always important to remember, as we sing our songs of what God is doing, actually, the enemy talks a really good game, but God actually gets involved, physically moves stuff. He intervenes. The picture of his right arm and his nostril, that is, yeah, God is broad and strong. He moves and does stuff. And then there are songs of future victory. Effectively, God hasn't quite finished yet. There's more that he is going to do. Verses 17 and 18 says, "You will bring them in, plant them on your mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever." And Israel now are singing about their future. And actually, they don't even really understand the depth of what they are singing about here. There's so much that is said in these words that as they stood on the beach, having just watched the Egyptian army sink like lead to the bottom, they can't understand all of this. But actually, it's all in there. So they sing about the mountain that God is taking them to, the abode, the sanctuary. And all of these kind of terms, all of this points to the temple of God. This place that will be built generations and generations later. None of these people singing at the moment will see this. It was built by Solomon, the third king of Israel. This temple would be built. This would be their, on their mountain, the abode, the sanctuary where God would live, where the people of God would go and meet with him, where they would atone for sin, where they would worship, where justice would play out. A very important place. And that is spoken of. This is what God is going to do in the future. It's also the same temple that Jesus looked at and said, "I'm going to tear it down and rebuild it in 3 days." So this temple, this mountain, this abode, this sanctuary points to Jesus and his church as well. It tells us that actually the Lord will reign forever. So when we plant churches, as we do around Manchester, I don't know if you noticed, we have a little bit of a habit of planting. We want to plant next into Withenshaw, and then we're dreaming about where we might plant after that and after that. But when we do that, when we represent God in our workplace, when you go to work, when you work hard, when you look to be an ambassador of the kingdom of God where you work, as you look to bring up your families, as you build friendships with people, as you're generous, as you look to love the poor, as you look to stand up for justice, all of those things, we see God building his temple, his sanctuary, this mountain, this people of God's, where God can meet the earth, where humanity can come and be with God's. So this song, sung thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, actually talks about you, talks about us here in Manchester. So just to finish, what songs do you sing? What songs do you sing to yourself that you allow to kind of hover over you? The truths that you allow to get into your heart, to bounce around your head, the messages you allow to sink in. It could be some songs of defeat, songs of how you failed or how other people have failed you. Perhaps you go the other way. Perhaps you're more like sing songs of motivation, how this is how I need to try harder. This is how I must work harder to succeed. Perhaps it's songs of comparison, where someone else seems to have more than you. There's always someone with more than you. So there's always someone to inspire you to those songs. Gosh, he's got that. Why haven't I got that? People are more successful. Maybe it's songs of dissatisfaction. If I just had a bit more, if I had more. That was the song I was singing when I was worrying about my pension. If I had a bit more. Maybe it's songs of pain. Oh, we've been hurt. It still hurts. Or songs of anger. This just is not fair. Or perhaps there are some songs of the past victory of God's. He is my strength, my song, my salvation. This is the song I will sing over myself. I won't sing songs of defeat. I'll sing songs of your victory, O God's. Maybe it's songs of what he's doing now, his great power. When we say, who is like you compared to all the other gods? Who is like you? You're entirely holy. Your deeds are magnificent and glorious. I'm going to sing songs about the power and wonder of what you can do. Or songs of God's freedom, actually, like they sang. You've led us in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. Songs of how, gosh, I remember what I used to be like, or the difficulty I was in, or the sin I was in, or whatever it would be, and you have restored me. You have redeemed me. By your steadfast love, you have taken me out of Egypt, and you've brought me into your promised land, into your people. Perhaps finally, it's songs of God's amazing future. It ends, the Lord will reign forever and ever. That's important to know, because the Israelites, as we'll follow this story through Exodus, they screw it up any number of times. I mean, some of the mistakes are colossal and significant. And yet the Lord keeps reigning forever and ever. And the songs of his amazing future, what he's got planned, they're important that we sing those, that we keep singing those. So if the band could come back, we are going to pray. And actually, we're going to sing songs of God's victory. We'll sing songs of what God is doing now. We'll also sing songs of what God will do in the future. And it's important that we do that, that we hold on to those. Lady Barn, Kingsway, everywhere in CCM. Actually, what is God going to do in the future with us as a people, but as individuals as well? Actually, what has God got for us? And that's not a kind of a me thing. That's actually, as God's people, we are advancing. As God's people, he leads us forward into his promised land. God, what are you going to do in the future? What is next?